The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
We're joined by the Chief Executive of Dublin Bus, Billy Hahn, because today it has announced a safety scheme to deal with antisocial behaviour. Billy, thank you very much for joining us.
Good afternoon, Matt.
Actually, just as an aside though, what Ben just mentioned there about these mobility scooters being brought onto buses, banned from today. Have you had many people trying to bring those onto buses?
Well, they're only literally banned from today, so we'll have to wait and see what the statistics are.
But have been people bringing them onto buses?
Not as much as maybe the Dart or the Rail, but you would see the odd one coming onto a bus service from time to time, yes. But the National Transport Authority has issued a recommendation to ban them, so we'll implement that recommendation.
There wouldn't be much space on a bus for one anyway, would there?
No, there wouldn't. There wouldn't at all. It's not really a space issue. It's all around safety and a concern around a fire from one of these scooters and the damage that would cause to a bus and the passengers on it.
Okay, well, tell us about this safety initiative that you have launched today, because it is something we have covered quite a lot in recent times, the type of antisocial behaviour that's going on in buses. This is something that clearly you believe is an issue.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, we launched enhanced security. We have a fairly robust security program already in place, but we did bring in some consultants to look at those procedures and make some recommendations. And one of the recommendations they made was to launch such a program. So we're launching it as a 20-week pilot program to test it to see how effective it's going to be. We're going to have two mobility security units working across the city, one on the north side, one on the south side. And they'll be simply jumping on and off buses in areas where we feel we have challenges and problems. But they also have two other roles. And the second role would be to assist our revenue protection unit in fare evasion inspections. And also, we do have issues from time to time on our Friday and Saturday night services in around the quays and other areas with regards to crowd control coming onto our buses during the very early hours of the morning. So they'll be helping and assisting Dublin Bus staff with that as well.
Okay, number of things there in relation to it. Actually, on the fare assistance, do you have many inspectors on buses? Because I get bus every day. I can't remember the last time I saw an inspector on a bus.
Well, we've a fairly big bus network. We've 124 routes. We've 1,000 buses operating on a daily basis. So the chances seen them are probably somewhat low, but we're contractually obliged and we need to do X amount of inspections on the bus per annum, and we meet those requirements as per the NTA's contractual obligations.
Okay, so tell us now about this mobility unit, as you're calling it. Will it be going around in a car following buses, is it?
There could be a little bit of that, but primarily I want them on the buses, so I want them travelling on the buses going from one destination to the other. I want them sort of in the background, to be honest with you, not getting involved with the passengers or the staff, only to intervene if there's any concerns or issues. However, they will be visible and they will be approachable.
Yeah, will they be clearly identifiable? Because one of the things that you notice, particularly on the Lewis as well, is that they look not quite Robocop, but not far off it, in that they're wearing big stab vests and whatever. You can clearly see these are identifiable security on the Lewis.
They'll be very similar individuals. As a matter of fact, they'd be even more identifiable because they have to wear a high-vis vest when you're on a bus, particularly if you're going into a depot or anything like that. So it'd be a very, very similar uniform that you would see on the Dart and you would see on the Lewis. So they'd be very identifiable.
What powers will they have to intervene, though? Because there has been talk previously about setting up a sort of a Garda public transport unit which would have defined legal powers. What powers will your people have to intervene and deal with offenders?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I suppose the primary role I want them to do is to de-escalate, okay? So it's to basically, if there's any concerns or issues with regards to antisocial behaviour, de-escalate, de-escalate, de-escalate. If they have to intervene, you know, in a different way, if we feel that our property is threatened or if we feel that there's an assault going to happen on one of our passengers or on one of our staff members, they can use reasonable force to remove that person from the bus. And if needed, they can use a citizen's arrest to detain that individual until an Garda Síochána Conor arrive to arrest the individual or bring the individual off.
How busy do you anticipate they're going to be?
Look, one of the reasons we implemented the program in the first place is in 2019, we had around 500 antisocial behaviour incidents. If you fast forward 5 years after the pandemic, in 2023, we had just over 1,000. We had 1,033 incidents.
So and those are the reported ones, because presumably there are many others taking place that people don't bother reporting.
Absolutely, but we're comparing year on year, so that okay. Sort of balances itself out. And I'm looking at trends rather than looking at exact figures. And the trend I'm seeing is increasing. And, you know, with that increasing trend, the feedback we've had from passengers, the feedback we've had from staff, I felt it was timely to actually implement this particular solution today.
Now, what sort of antisocial behaviour in particular are you worried about? Like, I'll give you one example. Drug taking, be it either smoking joints or doing more than that.
Yeah, look, when I talk about 1,033 incidents, it's from very, very minor things all the way up to a serious assault, okay? So it could be a simple verbal dispute between a passenger and a driver or between two passengers all the way up to a full assault. Some of it could be drug-related, some of it could be alcohol-related as well. And I think it's important to note, while we're implementing this particular solution today, it's only a small part of a much bigger jigsaw. So we are working with communities in the background, with community forums to try and address antisocial behaviour issues through the communities, through Garda Síochána and through councillors who are working in various different areas. We also have education programmes on in the schools where we go into the primary schools and we try to educate them about the importance of public transport and bus service and, more importantly, you know, not to be sort of getting involved in antisocial behaviour around them.
Yeah, and how difficult is it for the drivers in particular? I mean, are they required at times to leave their driving booth to go and deal with issues that might be happening in a bus, or is that discouraged?
We you probably know, we now have the driver behind the screen for their own protection. So that is discouraged. We don't ask them to leave unless it's under exceptional circumstances. And of course, there can be exceptional circumstances where they need to leave the bus. The November riots would be a typical example of that. But by and large, no, we ask them to basically stay in their seat and not get involved. Now, they can use their microphone system and get audio messages out there to passengers as required.
And I noticed that quite a lot more of the drivers are foreign nationals who have come to Ireland. You can tell by the accents and how you chat with them paying the fare. Are they suffering racist abuse?
There would be an element of racist abuse. There's no point in me denying that it isn't there. We have 85 different nationalities working on Dublin Bus. It's something we're quite proud of, and it's something which we need badly to keep our operations going. But unfortunately, you know, yes, some of them would be subject to racial abuse from time to time. Not too often, because as I said earlier, you know, we have 1,033 incidents. There wouldn't be a huge amount of them racial abuse, but it does happen from time to time.
Okay, this particular initiative, it's a 20-week pilot scheme. And tell us the hours that it's going to work in.
Okay, so from Sunday to Thursday, they're going to be working, you know, from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning. And then on the Friday and the Saturday, to deal with some of those nighttime issues I spoke about earlier, they're going to be working from 4 p.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning. And that's the hours they're going to work 7 days a week.
Okay. Listen, there's something else I want to ask you about, and it's not directly, it's not your responsibility, so I'm not putting the blame on you in relation to this. But there was a fascinating story in the front page of the Irish Daily Mail last Saturday saying that the National Transport Authority has issued a tender for a contactless ticketing system across public transport. $2.7 billion, just absolutely eye-watering amount of money, just boggling. And yet there has been talk for years about contactless ticketing. When is it going to happen on the buses? Particularly, when will you be able to use your phone, for example, to come on and just literally buy a ticket rather than needing a leap card?
Yeah, the NTA recently signed a contract with a vendor for the implementation of a ticketless system, and that contract has just been awarded. My estimation would be 2 to 3 years for the implementation of the full system across the whole of Ireland. That's the type of system, that's the type of time it'll take for replacing a system like that.
How frustrating is that? We have been talking on this programme about contactless ticketing going back for nearly 2 decades, and now it's finally signed, and 2 to 3 years before it'll be on the buses and the trains and the Lewis and the Dart.
Yeah, that's exactly how long it's going to take, Matt. It's
why? Do you know? Have you asked them why?
Well, I have asked them why, but they've literally just signed a contract recently in the last number of months, so obviously there would have been a tendering process which would have taken some time. I wouldn't underestimate the complexity. I'm an engineer myself by background. I wouldn't underestimate the complexity of the systems that they have to replace.
Isn't this done everywhere? I mean, if you go to London now and you decide you want to get in the tube or whatever, you just swipe your phone and you're grand.
But when you look at London, Matt, and we're often compared to other European cities, the investment in public transport in other European cities has been there for decades, like you say. We've only seen the investment in public transport increase to significant levels in the last 5 years, and I think it's important to recognise that.
Ah, yeah, but like the tube has been there for over a century in London, but the ticketless system is something that they've managed to bring in the last couple of years. You go to international cities and it's done. It doesn't take 3 years for a bus service and trains. And I'm not blaming you. It's something I want to take up with the National Transport Authority. Billy Hahn, Chief Executive of Dublin Bus, thank you for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.